Now, there's a tortured metaphor. Housing market where you can't get out of the basement. Joining us now, Thomas Sugrue, history professor at the University of Pennsylvania and author of The Origins of the Urban Crisis. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
We want to continue this discussion of long-term changes on views of home ownership and what it does to American cities. Have you spent a lot of time in Philadelphia?
I have lived in Philly for 20 years now. I'm a native Detroiter, but this is my adopted hometown.
Well, there's some narrative in Detroit as well, but you know, I recall North Philadelphia, even today, as having so many sort of gap-toothed, empty neighborhoods where housing stock first was abandoned, then is gone, never returned. I remember there was a program back in the 90s to create little vest pocket parks in Philly. Now that sense of emptiness and sort of gap-toothed architecture and tableau in American cities has morphed around the country. Describe the evolution from North Philly to, say, Arlington, Texas or Las Vegas.
Yeah, well, North Philadelphia is a story of, you could say, following the tooth thing, kind of a tooth decay where one goes and then a few years later a couple more row houses go, and pretty soon you've got a block that has maybe a handful left standing surrounded by pretty small rubble-strewn lots. You get to a 20th century city like, say, Detroit, and there you've got big tracts of land that become vacant when houses are abandoned. So the city loses half of its population in 50 years, and there most of the lots are an eighth of an acre, quarter of an acre. Doesn't take very long before you've got some serious acreage, you know, places that have been basically been reclaimed by prairie. And then up to the early 21st century, and you have, you could say, you know, Generation 3.0, urban, or in this case, suburban abandonment, where you have ghost suburbs, places that were built by speculative developers during the boom, and everything went bust, and you've got half-built houses, you've got vacant lots, you've skateboarders taking over swimming pools.
And you've got commercial properties as well roped into these giant tracts of abandonment.
Yeah, I mean, one of the more surreal elements on the early 21st century landscape are, you know, empty shopping malls. You know, the symbol of suburban commerce, you know, just lying there fallow because the customer base never really materialized.
But we're speaking with Thomas Sugrue, history professor at the University of Pennsylvania and author of the book The Origins of the Urban Crisis, among other things. But Thomas, which narrative is it? Is it the empty lots bringing down property values, causing a strain on the taxable base of a city, ruining, say, an urban center or even a suburb, as you described? Or is it the opening up of a formerly overcrowded land? Is it places where baseball teams now have room to play? Is it places where a school suddenly have room for their kids to go to recess? Which is true?
I would say it's a little bit of both, Lest. So you have empty land that all of a sudden can be repurposed for other uses. And so in Philadelphia and many big cities around the country, you have urban agriculture. You've got small-scale gardens up to, you know, pretty significant enterprises that are taking over abandoned land and using it for a different purpose. But sometimes the opening of the housing market, you know, some of those ghost suburbs have opened up opportunities for people who couldn't have afforded to live there before the boom and who are taking advantage of the fact that housing prices have come down and you can buy houses or you can buy developable lots at fire sale prices, although there's not a lot of development going on right now.
Although the scale of those investments is not the scale of the developers who are putting up those shopping malls. And urban agriculture, while it is nice and attractive and, you know, it doesn't begin to restore the tax base, you know, people who see abandonment in their own neighborhood generally respond with a kind of fear. Listen to this woman, Tessa, from Warren, Michigan.
We have six empty homes on my block alone. It's a huge issue for our neighborhood.
I don't know if she's necessarily talking about having the wide open spaces out her back window.
Well, yeah, Warren, the suburb outside of Detroit, has suffered a lot of abandonment because of the housing collapse. And so she's looking out and saying, I bought this home, I invested, and now my investment's going to go down the tubes because I'm surrounded by derelict properties. And that's a serious concern for people who own homes in places that are starting to slip into decline and abandonment.
Have you thought about solutions and sort of entrepreneurial, maybe government-induced programs at a time when, you know, nobody's spending on anything fiscally? But I'm just wondering if there's an enterprise zone sort of idea that would convert some of this land, not into businesses necessarily, but would create the investments that would extend on pre-existing urban agriculture, maybe pre-existing parkland that has been reclaimed by neighbors, and make it a more architecturally coherent neighborhood?
Definitely. In cities that have suffered really big population losses, there's been an attempt to re-urbanize by channeling city infrastructure and resources into the places that are still viable. If a neighborhood only has a couple of abandoned houses, like the woman who whose quote you just played, then it's possible to intervene strategically, do a couple of houses here, a couple of houses there, and stem the tide of disinvestment. But by and large, these have been very small-scale efforts. There's not a lot of money for urban redevelopment right now, and private developers are pretty gun-shy because of the financial situation right now.
But you've got a situation where there's enormous capacity. We talked to a home builder just a moment ago who says he's ready to hire. He's looking for pent-up demand. If the possible connection between the need for these new neighborhoods and the capacity of the builders could be connected, something can happen.
That will happen when the market rebounds, but it's not clear from what Kay Schiller and others tell us when that's going to happen, certainly not in the next few years.
Right. Thomas DeGruy, history professor at the University of Pennsylvania, author of The Origins of the Urban Crisis. This Salt Lake City listener sort of extends on the conversation. We had to sell a paid-off house for less than what it was worth because we had to move to get a job. My job is now stable, but our confidence in it staying for 20 years and committing to a mortgage isn't. That affects neighborhoods, too. Your stories as well. Call us 877-8-MY-TAKE.